Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is, unfortunately, week 16 of the NFL season, but playoffs are coming, so I guess it is. Anyway, it's time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes to you every single week by these great sponsors: Rough Swings and Sports Bar, the United States Marine Corps, ACC, Midwest Transportation, and West Central Trophies. Let's introduce who's on the show today and tell me how things are going, Justin.
Things are going fantastic. Again, my condolences, John. I moved on in the Loon League. I'm still alive and chasing the Lombardi this season. And I play Lyle this week, who is the number one team in the league, number one seed in the playoffs. I think he's got three losses on the year. And I am, other than that, going for a toilet bowl record by winning the most toilet bowls I've ever won in a fantasy football season. I think I am going for three of them right now.
Sweet. Eric.
Eric LeBroughton from Hutchinson. Still alive in all three of my fantasy leagues, the Loon being the toilet bowl, but I'm still playing for some money, John. I had a couple buys, but yeah, wasn't my year yet again in the Loon League.
Jack.
Well, I tell you what, I am fortunate enough to be in the Loon League. I'm playing Winlet, who Odin's King of Metal is his team name. And I just want to give this a real quick scenario. He won 117-113 in the first round of the playoffs because Zeke and Destroy had Geno Smith, and instead of dropping him and picking up Lock or dropping someone and having a backup, he walked into the weekend with a questionable QB, got 0 points from his QB, and was beat by 4 points. He had Henry, Mostert, CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, and David Njoku. Thank God he is not in the freaking playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. We discussed that one day here at the Loon. My name is John, and well, I like how Justin put it. And I think Eric too, still alive. That's all I can say. I'm playing for toilet bowls, not the way I really wanted to kick it off, but, hey, this is as competitive a fantasy football as I've ever played in my life in these leagues. So anyway, for the next hour, we're going to be talking fantasy football. We want to help you hopefully win your championship or your toilet bowl. Hey, money's money. So, if you have any questions for us, it's that Central Tire and Auto text line at 320-235-9094. Shoot us a text right here in the studio. Time for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report. I'm going to burn through these pretty quick. These guys are all questionable for Week 16. That includes Trevor Lawrence, concussion, Zach Wilson, if you're playing him. Will Levis, I'm not sure he is going to be playing this week, even if he does go in. Brock Purdy's got a stinger. He should be fine. Geno Smith, Kenny Pickett, Aaron Rodgers is still out. Why did I say questionable for him? I don't know. After they got eliminated, Aaron Rodgers said, I am done for the year. Christian McCaffrey, Zach Moss, Kenneth Walker III, Devon Achane, Josh Jacobs, Jerome Ford, also all questionable this week. Might be a chance of Jonathan Taylor coming back on the field. Keep an eye on that. Remember, we do have football today as well. Wide receivers, Jamar Chase, out. Unfortunately, he might get put on short-term IR. He separated his shoulder this week. Michael Pittman, questionable, but boy, after that hit, I don't know how he plays this week. Jalen Waddle show, after Tyreek didn't play last week, he is now on the IR injury report with a rib injury. Jaden Reed, Hollywood Brown, Zay Jones, and Zay Flowers. As far as tight ends go, Trey McBride, Travis Kelce, Hunter Henry all show up as questionable this week. Luke Musgrave out. Darren Waller in this week. And who's the other one? CJ Stroud. I wanted to talk a little bit about him. It says here he's going to be out, but there is some question about that. And he might be on the field this week for the Texans. Keaton Mitchell, that was some kind of injury. I accidentally saw the replay of it. Yuck. Torn ACL, out for the year. It is too bad. All right. Speaking of injuries, speaking of all kinds of other things, the Vikings, we were talking about it off air. People are calling for Kevin O'Connell to be fired, Justin. We talked about it off air. Give me your take on that.
Oh, I think it's a massive overreaction. you know, O'Connell's overachieved the last two seasons and won far more games than I think any other coach we'd have went with would have with this roster and this team and what he inherited and the injuries and everything else. Now, he does deserve every bit of criticism that he's getting for multiple games of some questionable play calling. He has got to get back to what he was doing last year. I think he just simply is outthinking himself. I think he's got the ips, you know, he's in a bit of a rut on that, and he's got to get his confidence back. I think it's that simple.
John, let me come at this from a guy that's got Arthur Smith as the head coach of his favorite team. I will gladly take KOC on his worst day. I mean, his worst day. This guy has, he has the buy-in from the team. He's smart. He's managed to pull out wins where there shouldn't have been wins. And yes, there's been losses where there shouldn't have been losses, but I don't know that everything always falls on the head coach either way. Definitely not getting fired. I bet the house this guy has his job next year. You cannot fire this guy this year. No chance.
Eric, you still on the O'Connell train?
You know, I mean, I've never really been on the train. So I think he won a Super Bowl with LA with a guy that, I mean, he wasn't the head coach. I mean, he hasn't proven crap to me yet, but he can make horrible play calls. Until he does something on the field better than losing and giving him excuses, it's the NFL. I mean, I'll give him a break this year. He lost his starting quarterback, but shy of that, John, you know, I'm a kind of a guy who you prove to me first, and then I'll give you props and a pat on the back later. Okay. He hasn't proven me crap. So that's my take on O'Connell.
Jack, I was actually going to throw it to you about the rumors of Arthur Smith being coach of the year and your thoughts on it, but I think you
hit that up. Listen, there's not a more, you cannot name a team that has better skill position players, higher draft pick players with that record. And they put up 7 points against the Panthers. Like, come on. No, he's got to go.
I just can't believe if they walked into the season with those quarterbacks.
Look at the Vikings. 3-0 against the Raiders. 3-0 inside of a dome. I mean,
yeah, but,
3-0 games before, but in the blizzard.
But Eric, you had a backup. Eric, you had a waiver agent, a waiver wire acquisition QB from Arizona. No Justin Jefferson. The only offensive weapon you had in the Vegas game was Hockenson, and that's it. Kyle Pitts, higher draft pick than Hockenson. Bijan Robinson, higher draft pick than anyone other than Justin Jefferson on the entire Vikings squad.
Well, we still have a first-round draft pick wide receiver out there. I mean,
I agree. And Addison has had a couple good games. I agree. But the court, Ritter is he was our QB we drafted. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's they have the players they wanted, and they suck, and they don't use them right. It's oil and water, and it's got to be the chef. The chef has to go. Get out of the kitchen.
I will say this with O'Connell. He bad play calling at the end of the Cincinnati game for sure. And he's a head coach. He's going to be in that position. He needs to be able to make the right calls in that situation, right, to be a winning coach. However, if Nick Mullins doesn't make two absolutely boneheaded decisions back-to-back in the red zone, near the end zone, interception turnovers early in that game, O'Connell's probably never in a position to have to make those calls to begin with at the end of the Cincinnati game.
All right. Well, we're going to come back and talk daily fantasy now that we've got this Vikings thing under control. It's daily fantasy news and strategy on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time to talk daily fantasy strategy for Week 16. Let's kick it off with quarterbacks. I'm just going to go around my screen as I see you guys. Justin, what do you got for quarterbacks?
All right. Well, I am going with Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who gets the L.A. Chargers. And he's expensive, $8,100, but I'm saving money in a lot of other places this week.
Very good. Eric?
You know, John, I'm going to save some money here. For $6,400, he's about $2,000 less than the top quarterback there. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. Got a good matchup against Chicago in Chicago, and I think Kyler, you know, is going to be running all over the place. This Chicago defense is not good and really not playing for much. So I think Kyler Murray comes out, and, you know, Kyler Murray's playing for his job. So,
Jack, what do you got for quarterbacks?
Well, I got two at 6K, Baker, touchdown maker. He's looking really good. Johnny had a perfect passer rating in game last week going against the 31st ranked Jacksonville Jaguars. Or if you want to save $500 more and he's healthy, don't be afraid to throw in that Joe Flacco, Cleveland going to Houston.
Love Joe Flacco. I can't believe I sat there on Sunday and there was something going on in the living room and I said, I have to watch Cleveland Browns football. Just for the last minute or two of the game, and it's largely based on just Joe Flacco. I like Flacco as well. Going for value, and this is just Sunday main slate, I don't mind playing Nick Mullins against Detroit. Over-under's high. It's in Detroit, but still. That's a home game, isn't it?
No, it's in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's in Minnesota, so even better yet.
You can't have any credit in this role when you say that Nick Mullins is a good start.
Well, we'll talk about that next week.
Let me slide in Dak Prescott quick because I also really like Dak Prescott. That's who I have in my lineup this week. He has Miami, and he's been hot. Prescott's been playing well. I know he had a bad week. I think he responds this week.
Yeah, that's going to be another shootout. Running backs, let's kick it off, Eric.
Yeah, I'm going to go with James Cook for $6,500. I mean, he's $3,000 less than McCaffrey, and he's got the lead role. I think he had almost 30 touches last week. And if you're going to get 30 touches, then you need to have that guy in your lineup.
Let James Cook. Jack, what do you got?
I'm going to anchor this thing down with some Ezekiel Elliott at 5,800 New England going to Denver. I think Elliott has one of those 15 carry, 65 yard, two touchdown games. And for $5,800, I'll take it.
Justin.
I think Ramondre is going to be back. So I don't keep a close eye on that because I don't think Zeke gets that many touches if he is. I also like James Cook. That's who I have. That's why I went with Dak Prescott at quarterback, because I wanted to get James Cook in my lineup. I will also give you Aaron Jones. Make sure he's healthy. He's got a questionable tag right now, but he's got Carolina. Jones looked good last week, and Carolina's terrible against the run and extremely good against the pass on defense. They're 29th against running backs. He's $6,400.
Well, you know who looked good was James Conner. That dude was running against the Niners. He looked good. So, you know, pretty darn impressive.
Value play for me is Tajay Spears at $4,700. I think you're going to see a little bit more of him. You tend to see more Tajay Spears when Tennessee is behind. They just don't throw the ball to Derrick Henry, and I think they're going to be behind against Seattle. Volume cheap play this week, Chuba Hubbard. It's a volume play. Are they good? No. Is he particularly good? No, not really. But he seems to be getting somewhere between 20 and 25 touches a game, and I think $5,700 is pretty cheap for that. Carolina facing Green Bay this week. Wide receivers, Jack.
My big money spin is going to be DK Metcalf. Hoping Geno's back in the lineup, but they're going to Tennessee where the secondary is awful, and the Seattle running game's just not been too good. So DK Metcalf, $6,700 and a cheap option. I wasn't aware of the Trevor Siemian thing when I set my lineup, but I got Garrett Wilson in there for $5,800. Anytime he's under 6K, he's probably in my lineup.
Justin.
My expensive guy is CeeDee Lamb, who I stacked with Dak Prescott. One of the ways I was able to do that is I went with Chase Brown as a running back as well, who's only $4,900, big play potential, screen game. My cheap options for you, I got two, Rashid Shaheed. For New Orleans, big play possibility. Derek Carr looked good last week playing against the Rams. New Orleans is trying to win that division. He's only $4,500. And then my boy Washington out in Jacksonville, Zay Jones likely out, so that makes him the number two receiver behind Ridley with Christian Kirk being out for the year as well. Tampa Bay's terrible against pass, 30th against wide receivers, and he's only $3,800.
Wide receivers, Eric.
Yeah, John, here's where I'm saving some money. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb being $9,200. Instead, I'm going to go on the other side of that Dallas lineup against Miami. I'm going to go with Cooks. I think Cooks has a big game. He's only $4,900. I mean, he's worth a big risk, big reward here. He could kill you, but he could also win you in the daily lineup. I like the Garrett Wilson call. I mean, like John said earlier, Washington's defense is horrible. Garrett Wilson's going to have a big day. And then make sure you get Addison for $6,000. I think Addison has another big game against that Detroit defense. I like the Mullins call combined with Addison going over 100 yards again. Only $6,000.
Hear that, Jack?
Which is like $3,200 less than CeeDee Lamb.
Eric, like the Mullins call, Jack. Okay, my cheap plays this week. My top guy is Tyreek Hill. I love CeeDee Lamb as well. It's a coin flip there. I'll probably have lineups with both those guys, not at the same time. But anyway, that said, I got to find value, so I'm going Curtis Samuel. All this guy does is be a fringe wide receiver one or high wide receiver two every week, and even DraftKings doesn't know that. He's $4,800 going against the Jets. I know that's a tough matchup, but McLaurin, Sauce will be on McLaurin. I think Curtis Samuel does what Curtis Samuel does. I like the Parker Washington call, and I also like Jonathan Mingo against the Green Bay Packers. Yes, I brought up two Carolina Panthers in this segment, but Mingo should be about 10. He should get you about 10 points, $3,600.
Curtis Samuel's the best player on everyone's waiver wire in the league right now.
No, not on Purple Pride. I just snatched him up this morning. Let's move on to tight ends, Justin.
I'm going to take a shot on Pat Freiermuth with Pittsburgh. It's a good matchup against Cincinnati. They're dead last against tight ends for fantasy purposes. The game is in Pittsburgh. He's only $3,800, and that's the other reason that I'm picking him. He's affordable.
God, remember when they had Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and then it's just been all downhill since then.
Yeah, the good old days. Eric, tight ends, what do you got?
You know, I'm going to combo. This is where I get my combo in there with my quarterback, Kyler Murray. I'm going with Trey McBride. I mean, this guy's he's a beast. He's one of the new top five tight ends in the league, and he's only $5,700, which is dramatically cheaper than the 5-6 guys ahead of him. And I think this guy easily finishes in the top five for tight ends this week.
Jack.
Top three. John, we're going to go top three.
I like it.
All right. Well, I think Njoku definitely is going to make that cut. Cleveland going to Houston again. This is the case of big, huge tight end option. The quarterback's going to throw the ball 40-plus times. The Houston secondary's banged up. I don't know if C.J. Stroud is back this week. I don't think he is.
Shaky right now.
Yeah, so if he's not back, you're talking about Cleveland having the ball for a long time. I think Njoku at 5,300, he may be tight end one. I'd put him above Kelsey this week. I don't know why Kelsey so much.
That's what you just said about Njoku was pretty much what I was going to say. He would be my tight end one this week at $5,300. The budget play for me is Tyler Conklin, Jets, again, attacking that garbage Washington defense, $3,200. Let's hope for 8 points. That's really what it boils down to. Let's roll through defenses. Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the team really needing a win this week, John, and anybody going against the Giants is a good start. Philadelphia, only $3,600. Going against the Giants, I think that's a safe play for a good 10 fantasy points, although that defense is horrible. I do see him having a safe week against the Giants who can't score.
Jack.
Yeah, Eagles are getting lucky with the Cowboys and the Niners schedule, right? It's almost like the Eagles are getting a bye week this week. But I'm going with the Colts, going to my Atlanta Falcons indoor game. Weather doesn't matter. Colts on DraftKings just put up 14 points against Pittsburgh, 7 against Cincy, and 17 against Tennessee. So I think they're going to have a 15 to 20 point week.
Jack's a traitor. Just a traitor.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you this.
He finally got off the Atlanta train, and he might actually get a Colts jersey. It's just a miracle. Does that work?
I may put on a Colts jersey over here.
If you get on the Atlanta train, you might blow the biggest lead in Super Bowl history. You might blow that lead. It might happen.
Eric. This is how much I like him. The Colts are the defense that I picked.
Oh, wow. All right. Justin.
You know, real quick, we're talking about how it's just gone downhill for Pittsburgh since Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Coincidentally, it's also gone downhill for both of those guys since they left Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just completely imploded, right? Irony there for you. If you have the money, I like Washington this week against the Jets and Trevor Siemian, who is, I heard today, the least accurate quarterback in the NFL. 40% of his passes are off target. That's a lot. So I'll roll the dice on that Washington defense off that random fact. Otherwise, I have the Vikings in my lineup. They're balling out, coming off a tough loss against Cincinnati. Jared Goff has had some bad games on the road. on this game is in Minnesota. So they're only $2,500.
What a terrible
game. I like that Washington defense play, though, because most people are just going to look right past that. With Trevor Siemian, that's a good call.
Yeah. Buccaneers versus Jacksonville, $2,600. That's my punt play. All right, we're going to come back and talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. It's a fantasy football foursome on the Loon. We're back on the fantasy football foursome. Hey, if there's anything we can help you out with, it's that Central Tire and Auto text line, which is the same as our studio line, but you can shoot us texts now. 320-235-9094. Time to talk waiver wire. Yes, there is a reason to do that. Some of the powerhouse teams don't need to hear it, but a lot of us are still fighting for toilet bowls. So, anyway, let's kick it off. Quarterbacks, what do you see, Justin?
I'm going to go with Nick Mullins. He got you 17 points last week despite a couple of bad interceptions. He's got another week running with the ones during practice, playing Detroit at home. Their defense is terrible, and he's available in like 90% of leagues. So, Nick Mullins is a guy, if you have to, you can pick him up and play him.
Hear that, Jack? Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to give you the name Joe Flacco. I just don't feel like the upside's quite there. So I'll go with Baker Mayfield, coming off 32 points, going against the 30th-ranked Jacksonville defense. Baker Mayfield's still available, before the waiver wires went through this week. He was available in 50% of leagues, still available in almost 60% or 40% of leagues, John. So he's available in a lot of leagues, and I feel safer putting Baker Mayfield in there than Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, you want a better upside. Baker Mayfield has good receivers.
Never thought I'd hear that sentence while Mahomes is still playing, but hard to disagree with it. Jack, what do you got?
Well, I agree with the Baker Mayfield call for sure. If you look just above the 50% roster, that's, he's the best one there. All right. This week, Gardner Minshew at Atlanta. I'm going to keep pounding that Colts thing with my new Colts jersey. He's available in 84% of leagues, so he's probably available in yours.
My guy would be Jake Browning, available in 60% of leagues. Well, what has this guy done? Not much in his starts. The last 3 weeks, 26, 23, and 19 points. And I'm being
only
sarcastic. Only if he's 5'3". You're going up against Pittsburgh, and yeah, we always think Pittsburgh and tough defenses. No, they got TJ Watt, and that's pretty much it. I don't mind Jake Browning at all in two quarterback leagues. I'm not sure I'd do it in just a standard league, but in two quarterback leagues, no problem there. Running backs, Eric.
I'm going to go with kind of the no-brainer pick. I mean, I can't believe Ty Chandler's still available in 50% of leagues. He's taken over the job in Minnesota. He's got a tough matchup. Detroit is really good against the run. I'm going to go with just true carries. He's going to get 20-plus carries. I like Ty Chandler. At least get him on your roster. Hopefully a better options this week. Coming off 24 points last week, John, and available in about 50% of ESPN leagues.
Had a great week. Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Justice Hill, Baltimore running back. He's going to fill in for Mitchell. He's available in about 90% of leagues. Going into the playoffs, do you want to play a guy that hasn't gotten a lot of carries and this, that, and the other? Maybe not, but I'd have him on the bench just in case you hear something. If Gus Edwards gets a little itchy and then you've got the number one running back for Baltimore, you may have some garbage on your bench you can trade out. So maybe don't trench him, but you certainly want to have him on the bench.
For sure. Justin?
I'm going to go with Chase Brown for Cincinnati, who's also available in 90% of leagues. One play, right? One play, and he can take it to the house. And he's getting double-digit touches in the last three games. So they're keeping him involved. So I'll roll the dice on him. Not a bad matchup either with Pittsburgh.
And John, I'm going to give you Zamar White and Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. These guys are both backups to guys who might not play.
Yep.
So if you're desperate, make sure you get these backup running backs that could end up starters and, have good double-digit fantasy points.
Right on. And those the three that the guys mentioned are exactly the three that were the top three on my list. It's Chandler, it's Chase Brown, it's Justice Hill. Deep look. We don't know if Moss or Taylor are going to play for the Colts this week. If that's the case, then it's probably going to be Trey Sermon, the resurrection of Trey Sermon. He got 8 points last week after Moss went down, but this is only a situation where you know, prior to game day, if you find out Moss and Taylor aren't playing it, then grab yourself some Trey Sermon. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Absolutely on the Trey Sermon. No better place than the South to bring a good sermon, John.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to give you Noah Brown. I've been giving you this guy's name for about 5 weeks now. Last week, he scored 22 fantasy points. Zero the 2 weeks prior to that, and then 24 and 30 in his two games. So anyways, the guy's in the lineup. He's good with or without Stroud at this point. Went 8 for 11 for 82 and a touchdown. He's got Cleveland coming to Houston. Tennessee coming to Houston. Cleveland's got a good defense, don't get me wrong, but they can be beat. So I think you got to have Noah Brown on the bench. I guarantee you Noah Brown's better than some of the receivers on your roster.
Justin.
You know what I appreciate about you, John, with your fighting for toilet bowls, working the waiver wire, giving us deep takes like Trey Sermon with his 8 points. You're a true grinder.
A grinder.
You know, you learn how to win a little bit at a time a long time ago. Yeah. Just remember, if you're too careful, John, your whole life becomes a grind.
I know. Thank you.
John goes, listen here, you little punk. My kids eat. I put food on my table.
John's been doing this since he had to get the newspaper every morning.
1989, first year.
Okay. So over to me for the wide receiver.
You bet.
I am going to give you Wicks for the Green Bay Packers. Their Watson might play. He may not play. So I kind of like Wicks this week for Green Bay Packers.
Eric.
You know, maybe Joshua Palmer. I'm coming off 24 points, available in 75% of leagues. I know they're missing their quarterback. Going up against Buffalo, where they're going to be playing from behind, and Joshua Palmer is kind of, you know, if Allen doesn't play, Joshua Palmer's a no-brainer. So you're going to want to see if Keenan plays or not. It does hurt his value a little bit, but as a number one wide receiver, he's proven time and time again he's worthy of 20-plus fantasy points with Allen out. So get him on your team, and you may not want to play him, but if Allen's out, put him in your lineup.
Same situation with my guy, and I like all three that the guys brought up, Parker Washington and slot receiver. I don't think they're going to move him outside. I think he's going to stay in the slot where he plays. Normally, he got 6 targets last week, 4 receptions, only 12 yards, but it's something if you need help. And he's up against Tampa Bay this week, and I think Zay Jones is just going to stay off the field for the time being. Tight end roulette, Justin.
Well, it shouldn't be roulette. I'm going to give you a guy who scored 19 points back-to-back weeks since getting a new quarterback, and he's available in 80% of leagues. This guy I've talked about kind of throughout the season, old Hunter Henry for the New England Patriots. Again, available in 80% of leagues, and his matchup, it's just the team that's the worst in the NFL against tight ends, the Denver Broncos. Go grab him. Billy Zappi is targeting him, especially in the red zone. 3 touchdowns in 2 games. Simple. Simple call.
Eric.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, just a very safe, as much as I hate to – I would love to make fun of Justin for starting New England Patriot. I mean, he is the safe play out of all the guys out there. But Isaiah Likely, you know, how is this guy still available in 40% of leagues? Doesn't make any sense to me. Coming off 18 fantasy points on the best offense, best team in the NFL. I mean, it's arguably the best team in the NFL, but they're arguably the best team in the NFL. And he's on a team where the guy throws to his tight end a lot. So Isaiah Likely available still in 40% of leagues, which is just a head scratcher. He should be available. He should not be available in any leagues. So
there is some real gold in the tight end free agent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tight end renaissance. It is. And Likely, I'm glad you brought him up, because that is unbelievable that he is available in that many leagues. Jack, what do you got?
That's what happens when you get garbage quarterbacks that can't complete a 20-yard pass downfield. You get resurrection of the tight ends. Speaking of quarterbacks that can't throw the ball very well in tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Green Bay, available at 96% or 94% of fantasy leagues. He's got 15 points in his last game against Tampa Bay, 10 against the Giants. He's going to Carolina and then to Minnesota, and they are also fighting for a playoff spot. That Minnesota game is going to be very important for them. I think Kraft is going to score double-digit points easily. This might be the week to look at a tight end in your flex.
And once again, the guys picked all three that were on my list. I do have to laugh that in ESPN leagues, most added drop tight ends, Rob Gronkowski shows up. Now picked in 0.3% of leagues. Rob Gronkowski, congratulations to him. Let's roll through defenses quick. What do you got, Eric?
You know, if for some reason that Eagles defense is there, they're still available in 40% of leagues. Makes no sense. I don't feel like it's great advice. I don't see how these guys aren't owned in all leagues. But I'm going to go with probably the Colts. I'm going to go with Jack's team against the horrible Atlanta Falcons. They are bad. And the Colts are actually playing really good, where they win four of their last five. And they're going to be playing from behind. We see some sacks, some interceptions. So I like that Colts defense available in over 50% of leagues.
Jack's team. I love it. Jack, what do you got?
Yeah, everything's mine whenever it's doing terrible. That's one good thing about it. If you hang out with Eric enough, as soon as he hates something, he'll absolutely give it to you. So that's a good time. I would also roll with the Colts. I think that's the team to roll with. But if they are already taken in your league and you're just looking for a few safe points, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but is Trevor Lawrence back for the Jaguars? Is he still out?
Should be. No, he played last week. I think he's playing again this week.
Okay, I thought he might have been out.
He's in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he was still. Yeah, I thought he might still be out. So if he's out, I like the Buccaneers defense a little bit. If he's in, I'd stay with the Colts.
All right, Justin.
I got two. The one I like the best because they're at home is the Denver Broncos against New England Patriots. I know I just gave you Hunter Henry, but I also think the Broncos defense is a good play in Denver. And then I will take the Manders who have the Jets. It's in New York, and that's why I like Denver a little bit better than Washington. But both defenses are available in 70% of leagues.
I think you pick up Denver and just start them the rest of the season. New England, L.A. Chargers, and if you do fantasy football in Week 18, Las Vegas. Tasty. All right, time for Trench'em and Bench'em. We will come back with more of the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Week 16, and it's the Fantasy Football Foursome again. If we can help you out, it's 320-235-9094. That's the Central Tire and Auto text line. Shoot us a text. We'll do the best we can as far as advice goes. All right, Saturday football. We got football again today. No noon game, 3:30, NBC, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Eric.
Yeah, John. Well, I'll start with the home team, Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to sit Mason Rudolph. He's not going in there. I like Jalen Warren as well as Najee Harris. They're kind of a 50-50 split, so I don't mind both of them as a sexy flexi, like running back number three. Deontay Johnson's the only other safe play as far as wide receivers. I'm not putting anybody else in there, including Fairmouth. Deontay Johnson's had three games in a row with double-digit fantasy points. He's a safe 12 to 15 points. There's no upside with Deontay Johnson, but he is definitely a safe 12 to 15 points each and every week. Going to the Cincinnati side of the ball, I don't mind start Jake Browning, but I'm hoping you have better options. But I think he's actually been playing well as the starter, getting more than 18 or more fantasy points in all of his starts. Joe Mixon, he's a must start. The wrecking ball going up against a really bad run defense in Pittsburgh. T. Higgins, especially if Chase is out, T. Higgins is a must start wide receiver number one. He showed last week he could finally get some fantasy points. I think with Chase being out, I think he follows it up with a big week. So he's in there as a starter. And then Tyler Boyd maybe is a sexy flexi. Hopefully have better options. But that's it, John.
48% chance of rain. Cincinnati favored by 1.5. 7 p.m. tonight on Peacock. Buffalo Chargers, Justin.
Well, real quick, I'm going to make my ludicrous call of the week and say that Pat Freiermuth with Mason Rudolph at quarterback is going to be a top five tight end this week.
Got it.
Okay. Buffalo. Josh Allen, James Cook, Stephon Diggs, all in the trenches. Dalton Kincaid at tight end. Put him in the trenches as well. And that Buffalo defense, I am absolutely starting them. And that's it. I'm not rolling the dice on Gabe Davis.
No way.
He has gotten zeros, actual zeros. So if you're in the playoffs or if you're fighting for a toilet bowl, I wouldn't play him in any of those lineups. All right, on to the Chargers, which is interesting with Easton Stick at quarterback. Austin Eckler's been so terrible. I'm going to put Eckler in the trenches still, and hope for something. Hope for a big game on Saturday night. Tough defense. Palmer, you know, if Allen doesn't play, I'll throw Palmer in as a flex as well. And that's it. That's the end of the list for the Chargers.
Buffalo favored by 12.5. Tomorrow, kicking it off at noon, Jack, your Indianapolis Colts versus Arthur Smith and the Falcons.
All right. Well, you've heard me preaching about it all week. Here's my bold call, Justin. The Colts defense will outscore every individual member of the Atlanta offense. Not combined, but individually, none of them will score higher than the Colts defense.
I don't think that's that bold.
That's
pretty bold, actually.
Yeah, that's the sad part. All right, so Pittman, he's in there, the WR2 spot, just based on being questionable going into the weekend. If he was healthy, he might be a WR1 this week. Minshew, safe to start quarterback, go right ahead, 2QB league, automatically he's in. Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss, if Jonathan Taylor's healthy, he's the go. You sit Moss. If he's not healthy, you start Moss. You can't start Moss if Jonathan Taylor's healthy, in my opinion. Taylor just gets too many of the reps, but Colts defense, and then I'm not going past that on the skill side of the ball. Kickers, obviously, if you're in one of those crazy leagues. On to the Atlanta side of the ball. Well, the only actual player I think that you probably feel like you got to start is Bijan Robinson, but before you throw this guy into your lineup in the fantasy playoffs, let me remind you that going against Carolina in the rain, right, John? When do you not pass the ball? When do you run the ball? I don't know. Maybe when you're in the rain.
Usually in the rain.
Playing for playing a division opponent, trying to lock up the top spot in the division, and you have a top 10 pick running back, and you hand him the ball, what do you get? 7 attempts for 11 yards and 0 points. And I guarantee you somebody got knocked out of the playoffs because of Bijan Robinson. That being said, if you feel like you have to start him, go right ahead. But if he is the make or break, it's no different than a daily pick at that point. And that's the only player in Atlanta that I'd consider.
Atlanta favored by 1.5. Uh-huh.
Hold on. Let me pre-start the car. I got to head down to the casino right quick. Hey, Eric, can I borrow $150 million?
All right, I've got Green Bay versus Carolina. Not too exciting here. Looking at the Green Bay Packers depth chart, it's all Qs. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, all questionable. So keep an eye on that. I don't much care for the Green Bay running game, but I'd start Jones. Ah, Jordan Love, I'll tell you, Carolina can stop the pass. You decide on that. You know, if you have to start a receiver out there, it's probably Dontavian Wicks this week. I think they're going to kind of button him up a little bit this week. I also like Tucker Kraft when it comes to Green Bay, and I wouldn't even mind starting the Green Bay defense. Did I just say that? Why? Because Carolina sucks. Chuba Hubbard, Adam Thielen is a flex play only. Jonathan Mingo is a flex play only, and we're talking deep league flexes, and that's the end of that tune. Green Bay favored by 4.5 points on the road. Eric, back over to you. Cleveland, Houston.
All right, John. Well, start on the Houston side of the ball. It seems it's looking like Case Keenum's going to be the guy to go. Although I like, you know, Case Keenum is a lot like Jack's mom, performs well under pressure. So, like, I think he's going to have a big game, but I'm probably not putting him in my starting lineup. But Devin Singletary coming off 20 fantasy points on the field for almost every single play. So Devin Singletary, he's a guy you got to have in the lineup coming off 20 fantasy points. He's a running back number two. Again, I don't think Pierce really even affects him anymore. He's just the better running back. Nico Collins, he got to be in there. Looks like he's coming back this week along with Noah Brown. Again, they're both sexy flexies with Keenum in there. But Noah Brown, if I had to pick one of the two, Noah Brown seems to have that better rapport with Keenum. So I like Noah Brown as a wide receiver two, Collins as a wide receiver three. And that's it in this game, John. Going to the Cleveland side of the ball, well, I have zero problem starting Joe Flacco. Again, safe, 18 to 21 points. Not a ton of upside here, but I think Joe Flacco is a safe play. David Njoku, he's a top five tight end, as we talked about on the show. This guy's a must start this week. Amari Cooper, he's wide receiver number two. Got to have him in the lineup. And then as far as the running games conform, I'm not a fan of any of the running game here in Cleveland, which is surprising. John, the Cleveland Browns fans used to be able to run the ball better than anybody. And now, you know, they can't run the ball worth a crap. So I'm staying away from those running backs.
They can't shake the Brown Stain label that they got on this show. Cleveland favored by 2.5 points. Detroit, Minnesota, Jack.
Yeah, well, let's make this easy and start on the Detroit side of the ball, shall we? You know who's only let you down one time this year? That's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, this guy has just been balling out, so he's definitely in the trenches. Jared Goff, trenching him all day long. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's definitely in the trenches. Montgomery, I've got him as RB2 sexy flexy. Laporta, locked in at tight end. Even the Lions defense this week, I think, is a good play, and their defense hasn't been anything to write home about lately. But, I mean, let's face it. This is the Minnesota Vikings. It's just like being an Atlanta fan, and you guys are in the same exact pot of water. Team sucks, period. I mean, we just think they're better than they are, and they're just not. On to the Minnesota side of the ball, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Ty Chandler, RB2, sexy flexy, same as Jordan Addison on the sexy flexy. I don't trust him as a WR1 or 2 with Mullins and also with Justin Jefferson. But game script, they should be airing the ball out, you know, so we'll see. And that's it. No Vikings defense for me this week. I like Detroit to win this game and to cover. Honestly, wouldn't surprise me if it's a total blowout and they just break Vikings fans' hearts.
Wow. Detroit favored by 3. Justin, Super Bowl preview, Washington taking on the Jets.
The Vikings don't get blown out. They may very well lose, but they don't ever get blown out. But I could see why a lot of people could envision that. All right. There's not a lot of exciting news with my game. That's why I talk more about the Vikings. Brian Robinson, if he goes, I'll put him in the trenches because the Jets are a little susceptible to the run, and they're the best in the NFL against wide receivers. And you know, their pass defense is just legit. So, I'm not playing Sam Howell, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, sexy flexy at best. Samuel, I have ranked higher than McLaurin because Samuel is not going to draw the best corner in New York, which also may be the best corner in the NFL, you know, Sauce Gardner. And that's it. But you can play the Manders defense as well. Throw them in there. On the Jets side of the ball, Breece Hall is going to go in the trenches because he's a running back, and he could have a big game against that Washington defense for sure. I don't want to have to play Garrett Wilson with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. He's gotten single-digit points in any game that Siemian has played. So I'll put him down there as a flex, and I would play Curtis Samuel over Garrett Wilson this week, to be honest. And I'll trench that New York Jets defense as well. That's it.
Jets favored by 3. Boy, save that audio. That never happens. I grabbed Seattle versus Tennessee, and, well, all right, here we go. Tennessee can stop the run, so don't expect a ton out of Kenneth Walker this week. He does have a questionable tag on it, but he'll get run out there. I don't mind Geno Smith in this game, and it's because of the three receivers. It's Metcalf, who quietly has almost 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. And I say quietly, I don't have shares of him in any league, so I really haven't been keeping an eye on it. I've been keeping an eye on his tantrums, though, on the field. So hopefully he doesn't have one of those. But I like Metcalf. I like Lockett. Metcalf is a 2, and Lockett is a flex. JSN, even though the targets are coming up, I don't know if I'm going to hold my championship hopes on JSN. And I think that's it. I'm not ready to tell you to start Noah Fant. Over to Tennessee, there is some question whether Will Levis or Ryan Tannehill will finish out the season for Tennessee. I don't know if I care. I think you've got better options on the waiver wire than both those guys. Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. So Henry, of course, is the snowplow. Spears is the guy with the passing game. I like both of them this week. Tajay Spears is only a flex play in a deep situation. And, of course, you're starting DeAndre Hopkins. Don't mind Chigakwonko, tight end mandatory start, 16-team league. That's the only way I'm playing him. 16% chance of rain. Seattle favored by 2.5. Eric, Jacksonville taking on Tampa Bay to kick off the late afternoon games.
Yeah, John, this should be a high-scoring game. Right? I don't know what's the over-under in this one, John.
I will check it out while you're breaking it down.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm guessing the over and under is somewhere around 50-something. I'm going over regardless, John. This game's going to be a high-scoring game. Baker Mayfield going against that horrible Jacksonville defense. He's in the trenches very easily. Rashid White, this guy's been in beast mode. I mean, I feel safe putting him as a running back one, even or running back number two, but I'm even sliding him in there in my running back one spot. This guy's big play capability alone puts him in the trenches each and every week. And then Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they kind of rounded out. That's it for Tampa Bay. Both those receivers are going to have huge days. Which one's going to have a bigger day? I don't know. But I think they both have big, big days. Going on the Jacksonville side of the ball, you know, I don't feel safe starting Trevor Lawrence, although he probably is a safe start if you have nobody better. ETN, I mean, this guy's a must start each and every week, although he's been a little disappointing lately, John. He started off the season so strong, but he's got to be in the trenches each and every week. Calvin Ridley, don't, again, feel safe with Calvin Ridley in there. He's a sexy flexi at best. And that's it, John. I mean, maybe in Evan Ingram being ranked in the top five for tight ends, he's got to be in the trenches each and every week.
Well, Tampa Bay favored by 1.5. Over-under on this game, 43.5, which does seem a little low. Jack, Arizona, Chicago.
Yeah, we'll make this one quick. James Conner and McBride in Arizona, and I think you start Kyler Murray if that's who you've been rolling with or you got a 2QB league. Otherwise, there may be better options this week for you on the waiver wire. Onto the Chicago side of the ball. Much as I hate to say it with the matchup, you might have to look at starting Justin Fields with Arizona coming to Chicago. He looked really good against Detroit in the two games he had against them, but then against Minnesota and Cleveland, he put up 9. So depends on how much you want to gamble with your playoffs. Who's not a gamble is DJ Moore. I've got him in at a WR1, and I don't even mind throwing Cole Kmet in there at a tight end mandatory spot. Running backs in Chicago, you can skip, and the Bears defense, I think I would probably leave them on the bench this week. Pretty boring game. So I'm real glad it's a 325 game, so I don't have a lot of watching options. Thanks a lot, NFL.
50% chance of rain. Chicago favored by 4.5. One of the two games of the week, Justin, Dallas, Miami.
Which is at 325 on Sunday, Jack, so don't worry about it. You'll have something to watch. Dallas, Miami. Let's see here. Start them all. CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, my boy Turd Fergie. And I like Eric's Brandon Cook's call in daily. I would start him as well because he won't have Jalen Ramsey, although some people are saying the other cornerback whose name slips my mind is having a pretty good year as well. But I like Cooks this week. Stay away from the defense. And if you're wondering about anyone else on the team, you're not in the playoffs probably. Let's move on to Miami, where it's the same scenario. Tyreek Hill, if he goes, just keep an eye on that. It's an ankle injury. He didn't practice, you know, Wednesday. So keep an eye on him. But he's in if he plays. Tua's in. If Tyreek plays. If Tyreek doesn't play, I'm not playing Tua. I am looking for a better option. Jalen Waddle's in the trenches regardless. Mostert and A-Chain both got to put him in there. Not the best matchup with that Dallas D, but Mostert has been red hot. And A-Chain is, you know, two plays away from 20 points. So throw him in your lineup as well. And that's it.
Miami favored by 1.5, over under on that game, 50.5, highest on the slate.
So, yeah, Cooks lit up Dallas defense last week. So I like both those RB starts. But Mostert is the running back that gets the least amount of love in the NFL for what he's done.
Right. For sure.
I agree.
The Sunday night game is on the NFL Network tomorrow night. And it is New England, Denver. Woo! Boy, oh boy, here we go. Ramondre Stevenson, Pop Douglas, and Hunter Henry. That's what you got for New England. And over to Denver, different story. Javonte Williams is a flex. Been a little bit of a disappointment. I don't mind Russ this week. Clearly the number one option, Cortland Sutton, is a nice play this week. And I love that Denver Broncos defense. And there's just no reason to talk any more about this game. Chance of snow, Denver favored by 6.5. Christmas football, the noon game, Eric, is yours. And that's the Raiders taking on the Chiefs.
Raiders Chiefs, John. In the, back in the past, this might have been a good game, but I don't know. The Raiders coming off, they get 0 points against the Vikings, and then what, they score 62 last week. Mm-hmm. So I don't. as an analyzing that, I don't quite know how to analyze that, John.
Like, I don't either.
I'm not quite sure what the heck you're going to get with the Raiders this week, but we'll start on the Chiefs side of the ball. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, coming off 16 points, this guy's fantasy stats have been super disappointing. Now, if you have a Patrick Mahomes in a guillotine league, sure, he's a safe 18 to 20 fantasy points, but his upside, getting, he hasn't gotten 30, but maybe one time this year. I mean, he is
one time,
right? Yeah. Just one time. So, I mean, he's a guy with very little upside with no receivers. So I'm putting him on the bench if I have better options. And we talked about it earlier. I'm picking up a Baker Mayfield and starting him over him. And that is hard. That's hard to say, right? Coming up to January and we're sitting Patrick Mahomes, but you know, if you have nobody better, you're probably starting Patrick Mahomes in reality. So put him in the trenches. Rashee Rice, coming off 24 points, he's the receiver to have there. The only one worth a crap in Kansas City is Rashee Rice, along with Travis Kelce, who will be double-teamed and has been struggling because they are covering him and there's no other help there. And that's it. Pacheco, if he plays, you know, he's a questionable tag. If he plays, he's a must-start. I'm not feeling very safe about the two backups, although they did have a good week last week. Going to the Las Vegas side of the ball, again, I don't trust this team. So if Jacobs plays, he's in the trenches because you drafted him. He's a top 15 running back. He's got to be in the trenches. Davante Adams, he's in the trenches each and every week, coming off a big week. I don't trust O'Connell. He's up and down, so you have better options there. And that's it, John. I'm not trusting Michael Meyer. I do love the name, but he's just not consistent enough. Put him on the bench.
56% chance of rain. Kansas City favored by 10. 3:30 on Christmas Day. Giants, Philadelphia, Jack.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I talk a lot about the Falcons, but the Giants can find a way to screw up talent as well, because you got Saquon Barkley and you've got Darren Waller at tight end. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not starting any of these guys, not in the playoffs. I'm just not doing it. I've been telling people not to start Mahomes the last couple weeks over a different couple other quarterbacks. I'm going to tell you right now, I think like maybe both the running backs in Washington have a better game than Saquon Barkley does at Philadelphia. Not only is Philly good against the run, but the Giants suck at everything. I mean, the best thing they do is dress their agents. I mean, they have nothing else going on. So, you know, that's that breakdown. On to the Philly side of the ball. Hey, if you got them, this is if you smoke them, if you got them kind of a deal. The Eagles, start them if you got them. I mean, they're all in there. Hurts is still dominant. Brown, Swift, Smith, Goddard, the Eagles defense. I don't like Kenny Gainwell or getting into that second level of RBs. I like having Kenny Gainwell on my bench if I'm a DeAndre Swift owner, though. Look for the Giants to get handed their butts and the Eagles to come out of here with a signature win.
Philadelphia favored by 11.5. 7:15. Justin, you get both games. This is the other game of the week. Baltimore and the 49ers.
Yeah, for those of you that have been riding 49er players all season and have been very successful, you don't love seeing this matchup in the second round of the playoffs. I'll start on the Baltimore side of the ball. Lamar Jackson, hate the matchup, got to play him, right? He's playing MVP football right now. He's got to be in your lineup because you look at the rest of their team and go, how are they winning and how do they keep scoring points? And it's Lamar Jackson. It's all him. So the receivers, Flowers and Beckham, flip a coin and throw one of them in your flex spot because they are both, you know, 20 points, 7 points, 20, either one, flip a coin. Gus Edwards is the most likely player not named Lamar Jackson to get a touchdown this week. But, I mean, man, that's it. You put him in as a flex as well. And I say a likely at tight end, I'll trench him with confidence. And even though they're the number one defense in the NFL, I'm not playing them against the 49ers. There are better options. On to the San Francisco side of the ball, you have to play these guys despite the matchup. Christian McCaffrey is a no-brainer no matter what. Brock Purdy, I'm playing him. He's red hot. Every single player on his offense can take a screen pass to the house. He's got four of them, plus George Kittle. Come on. So Brock Purdy's in the trenches, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and the aforementioned George Kittle. And I am going to play that Niners defense at home. because I think that they have the athleticism to contain Lamar Jackson for the most part and get to him before he can try and get the ball downfield. It's all trenchhead Niners defense also.
San Francisco favored by 5.5. And that brings to a close the Week 16 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you missed any part of it, go to 941theloon.com and find us on the Fantasy Football tab. We want to thank our sponsors, West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Rough Swings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. And from all of us, Eric LeBraton, Justin Havemeyer, Jack Culbertson, and Lyle Dickman, good luck on the hunt, my friend. Merry Christmas! We'll see you next Saturday for the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon.